Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Green Room Podcast Weekend Recap Edition. I'm Tony Paul, here with Matt Charbonneau, who's at the wonderful Coralville Marriott in Iowa, or just outside Iowa. I guess it's in Coralville, Iowa, just outside Iowa City. Yeah, another episode of the Green Room Weekend Recap Edition. Glorious day for college football in the Big Ten. Matt saw one hell of a game in Iowa. Michigan State, you know, under the D'Antonio era, they hadn't really done much of the letdown after they beat U of M. Slight letdown today against Iowa. 49 for the Iowa team and 7 for the Michigan State team. Not good. Not good anywhere, really, for the state of Michigan. Michigan loses to Indiana 38-21. That's not good. I think, you know, yeah, not good. Bad.
But, you know, remember after the Rutgers game and everyone was freaking out and I said, you know, it wasn't as bad as it seems. If you really looked in deep in and really broke it down, it wasn't that bad. This one was that bad. I mean, there was literally no aspect of this game that Michigan State played well in, or you'd say, well, that wasn't that bad. None, not one, not one single aspect. They didn't run the ball again. It was, let's see, 59 yards this time, for a whopping average of 1.8 yards a carry. They stopped throwing the ball down the field other than two times. Rocky Lombardi was awful. There's no other way to say it. Three interceptions, one run back for a touchdown. Look, the first one was whatever, it was going to be a punt, but the one that was run back for a touchdown, just an awful decision. I mean, he said afterwards, I was probably trying to do too much, but man, just a really bad game for him and his homecoming to Iowa. The offensive line was bad again. Defensively, they didn't give up big plays the first 2 weeks. Well, they decided to do that today. A 71-yard run right up the middle. Just special teams were brutal. They give up the punt return for a touchdown. They miss a field goal. I mean, there was nothing you can look at and say, here's the epitome of it. Your only touchdown came from a backup punter who's playing tight end now. Now, look, Matt Dotson was hurt and didn't play today. But you've got Trenton Gillison and Adam Burghorst, three four-star guys that are tight ends that look like they're good players, and you're relying on Tyler Hunt, a former punter, a former backup punter. It was mystifying.
All right, take a breath.
There was nothing, and I could have been outside enjoying this weather playing golf or something.
Thank you for giving me the quick – Cliff Notes version.
There you go. That was for you, buddy.
Because I'm going to be honest. I know this is the Green Room Podcast, and I'm supposed to contribute here, but I'm not going to contribute a ton today. It was a Saturday. It was a glorious day out. It was a glorious day in this country. This is Saturday. We are recording this Saturday night, of course, as you know. We have a new president-elect that was finally announced today, several days after the election. So you know how much of a political nerd I am. I have been integrated and really into the presidential election for the last several months, but really this week, obviously. And so today, you know, I didn't feel like watching football. I didn't feel like getting brought down by something.
Well, I got to tell you, the feeling was shared by many in the press box at Kinnick Stadium today, especially after the first few minutes and we realized how it was going. that there were some other things we might have wanted to pay attention to.
Well, but you guys, and the game kicked off right after.
So
right as the game was getting going, that was the big news that Joe Biden is the next president of the United States and Donald Trump is not. And by the way, I was thinking about this today. Donald Trump lost the blue wall, which was Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I got to thinking today after these two big Michigan State games that maybe the blue wall people are kind of pissed at him for bringing back Big Ten football.
Maybe. I thought Detroit media was the blue wall. That's what I'm
right. All right, we're not going to get into politics. You all know my opinion. I got a text message from Josh Katzenstein today, who our Detroit News readers, astute readers, will recognize as our former Detroit Lions writer. He now lives in New Orleans. And he sent me a text message today. He's like, I know you're conservative. I appreciate you getting on the right side of history here. And I was like, wait, I thought he was joking. And he wasn't. He thought from his time in Detroit when we used to play golf and play poker, he thought I was a conservative. I don't know what gave him that impression. I thought that was funny. I was texting back with him tonight. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. You must be thinking of somebody else. And he was insistent that I have been a conservative. And I'm like, but no, I don't think I have. It was very funny. And fascinating week in the election, but we're not going to get into politics because that's not why you listen. And I'm sure it's not why you follow me on Twitter or unfollowed me on Twitter anyway.
Maybe why they unfollowed you. Yeah.
But so anyway, long story short, I did not watch any college football today. I did keep up with the rising scoreboard, you know, because when you click the refresh button on your Twitter, on your phone, at the top of the Twitter has the scoreboards of the games that you would be interested in. So of course it has Michigan State and Michigan. And all I kept seeing was the points go up and up for the non-Michigan teams. So let's get back into, you're going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on with this football team. Michigan State loses to Iowa 49-7. And this is an Iowa team that was really back against the wall a little bit, off to a tough start, and a Michigan State team that looked phenomenal last week, not just on the field, but again, the game plan and the execution, we talked about that. I did see a couple things on Twitter early on today that the going outside to the corners, what they did against Michigan, Iowa was prepared. Iowa had a little bit more of a game plan, and of course they're going to, because they saw the game, they saw the game film, you're going to make a plan and you're not going to allow that to happen. So I do know that, yeah, Lombardi, big step back today. Disappointing. He wasn't fantastic against Rutgers, but really showed a lot of poise last week against Michigan. I think, I would think that you start with the quarterback on a lot of these teams, and that would be a big disappointment, big step back for the Spartans.
Yeah, no, and you talked about poise. That poise did not exist today
at all. Where is he? He's from Iowa. Where in Iowa is he from?
He was in a couple spots, bounced around. High school was just outside of Des Moines. But probably he spent the bulk of his time growing up here in Iowa. Even though his dad was an assistant coach at Eastern Michigan for a while.
His first
ever football game, I believe, was at Michigan Stadium. Anyway, when he was an infant. But, so an Iowa kid who he talked during the week. He really wanted to play well here. I mean, Iowa kind of recruited him, but they wanted him to be a linebacker. It was funny. I made the joke that Kirk Ferentz somewhere about halfway through the game was like, see, I told you he was a linebacker. Look, Rocky, the poise was not there at all. The decision-making, you could just tell he didn't feel comfortable in there. I mean, by the second half, it was a little better, but by then, let's be honest, it was 35-0 at halftime. I mean, the game was over. The interesting thing, or the question we had for Mel Tucker was, why didn't you take him out earlier? And not like it's some grand thing, like we don't believe in Rocky anymore, but you got two backup quarterbacks who've never taken a snap for the most part. I mean, Theo Day's taken a few.
And there's no reason for Rocky to get injured.
Right. And it's clear though, at this point, that we believe that Peyton Thorne is the backup, and he eventually did come in, and the man's yet to take a college snap. So why did we wait till whatever it was, I don't know, 5-6 minutes left in the game and handed it off twice and three times in a bad throw. And that was it. Mel Tucker said there wasn't really much talk of it to that point. A little bit surprising, but Yeah, Rocky, it was a tough day. I mean, it was a tough day for him. It's everything you saw good the first couple of weeks. It kind of went in the wrong direction. But again, you mentioned Iowa was ready for it. Iowa was pretty strong in the corners. They were taking that away from him. And when you can't run the ball, I sound like a broken record, but when you can't run the ball, you become one-dimensional.
It limits what you can do. And, you know, last week there was no excuse for Michigan to let all that passing go and let Michigan State go crazy. Because they ran for a few yards last week, but it was a lot, one big chunk. They didn't run very well, I didn't think. You know, and so really, they got away with it with Michigan. For some reason, Michigan didn't adjust accordingly last week. This week, clearly, if you're not going to be able to run the ball, other teams are going to take the outside game away from you and the passing game. You have to figure that out. I mean, I'd say that you have to figure it out or the season's over. Look, it's not going to be a great season. And I think we thought that even after the Michigan win, that, this team's going to have some bumps in the road. But like you said, at least you could pick a little bit out of Rutgers. You could say, okay, they did that, they did that, they did that. You could take a lot out of Michigan, particularly, again, the game plan and the execution. No redeeming qualities. And you would know where you would know what line of thinking I'm thinking of here. It's like an X. No redeeming qualities, out of this game. If you're not going to figure this out, it's going to be a long season.
And this is the first time I heard Mel Tucker sound frustrated. I know we haven't gotten him a lot, but I mean, the guy is ultra positive. He really is. And you see him over there clapping, but he sounded pretty frustrated after this one. You could tell. He talked a lot about, you get punched in the mouth and how do you respond, and it's clear he wasn't happy with how his team responded today. I mean, he's not the kind of coach that's going to single out guys and, say something about one guy or say we're making all these changes, but it's clear he was unhappy with, not that you lose a game, but that it just looked like you came out there and you didn't have that fight. I hate to say that about these kids that are out there. I mean, most of these teams, these guys are all busting their you-know-what and the stuff they go through.
Busting their ass is what you wanted to say.
Yeah. And it's just – it's hard. I have a hard time ever saying they don't – they're not playing as hard. They don't care. And I don't think that's it. I just think sometimes you just didn't start with that energy like you should. And defensively, they sure didn't. They played okay defensively the last 2.5 quarters. But, again, it didn't matter by then. And it didn't matter when your offense is doing literally nothing. So – yeah, Mel Tucker was a frustrated coach today. I don't think that lingers the next week or whatever. There's some big issue. I know some people the first week were screaming for Mel Tucker to be fired, which was freaking ridiculous.
Most coaches will get more than one game.
Right. And as you mentioned, did we believe this was going to be some great year?
No. We talked about last week. We talked about a lot of the things they did well. It was an impressive win. Neither one of us. He was sitting. I hate to pat us on the back, although I'll do it. When we talked about the Rutgers game again, we picked out some positives. You could see some positives, which kind of led into the Michigan game, which they had did a lot of positives. But neither one of us were here last week's episode talking about, look out. I mean, they're going to run the table, or they're going to go 5-3, or 6-2, or whatever. We weren't saying that. There's clearly, it's a team that's in transition. There are some pieces, but there's some missing pieces. And until they figure that out, you're going to have moments like this. Now, this was an embarrassing loss. I mean, you don't want to go lose by 42 points. I mean, against a team that really, theoretically, shouldn't be that much better than you, if they're better than you at all, given what you did last week. All right. Look, Lombardi was not good. Defense is not good. The running game was not there. Give me something. You said no redeeming qualities. Give me one thing other than the weather that was good about today.
That was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful here in Iowa, too.
Yeah, and it was great. I mean, yeah. I had shorts on today, and when the sun went down, got a little chilly, I put some pants on. But give me something that was one play, one something that was positive.
You are making me work really hard.
I know. Dig into that stat sheet. Maybe it's on page 28 or something.
I don't think offensively there was a single thing to point out.
Antoine Simmons wasn't even that good today, was he?
Antoine Simmons was playing hurt. We don't know exactly the injury.
He was limited, right? We don't know what was going on.
He was limited. We asked him and Mel Tucker. They both – I mean, you give them a little credit because neither of them are using an excuse, so they don't really want to talk about it. But, you know, Simmons said, you know, I couldn't go the whole time. And he clearly was not 100%. So, you know, he can't be nearly as effective. It's tough. I would say guys like, you know, some young guys in the interior, Jalen Hunt, a young redshirt freshman defensive tackle, played pretty well. You saw a couple flashes from him. Julian Barnett started today at the nickel at corner, but I've had a lot of people saying, where's Julian Barnett? Where's Julian Barnett? The kid's supremely talented. And he was rotating at that nickel with Michael Dowell, more of a safety, depending on situation. By the second half, Angelo Gross, a true freshman, was playing and not Julian Barnett. There's clearly something with Julian Barnett in terms of the understanding of the defense right now. It's not his ability. I just think it's that comfortable level, which he's not there yet. So I Jalen Hunt was one. Michael Fletcher, redshirt freshman defensive end, played a lot, got his first sack. As I'm going through it, you look out there and say Shakur Brown, a cornerback, is out there. You know, they're down 5 touchdowns and the quarterback overthrows a ball and he's running around making the incomplete sign, looking at the empty stadium like he did something. It's like, my man, you're getting buried and it's the second half and you're acting like this is a no-fly zone and you didn't do anything. So, it was a lot of head scratchers out there. So, yeah, you got to work hard to find a whole lot of positives. So,
Well, I did hear that Mel Tucker talked for about 20 minutes after the game, didn't duck any questions and took him head on. And I think you're going to like that about him. You know, with football coaches, they're temperamental people. After losses, I mean, you remember, you know, D'Antonio was pretty tough after a loss, you know, a guy like Saban or whatever. I mean, it's tough talking to coaches after a loss. Excuse me. But Mel Tucker did sit there for 20 minutes today and did answer every question head on. And there are a lot of questions. You know, when you lose a game like that, after you win a game like you did last week, there's going to be a lot of questions. So I think people are going to like the accountability with the program. At least, you know, at least that's what I'm seeing right now. I think there is a lot of players and coaches holding everyone accountable. And so we'll see how they bounce back.
He said one thing that I like too in that post game. He said, "Own it, don't lie to yourself."
That's it.
You know, and it's we all see it, and he's not going to try and hide it. You know, you said the good phrase earlier, it's a transition year,
right?
And it is.
I mean, it always was going to be that way.
Yeah. So there's a lot of figuring each other out this year, and you're going to see moments like last week when everything clicked and it looked great. And you're going to see stuff like this week when it looks miserable. Right. Again, what I said last week is you hope to see consistent progress from certain areas, usually younger guys.
Yeah. You want to see that. We're not seeing it yet. We're seeing flashes.
Well, you're seeing flashes,
right? Flashes on defense, flashes on offense. You're seeing it a little bit, but.
You want to be able to get to the end 8 games and look at it as a whole, but obviously we are.
You want to be able to get to 8 games, right?
You know, well, that's true too. Never
want to do that.
Don't be surprised if Notre Dame's the next.
We're filming this or recording this. I'm sorry. We're recording this Saturday night. Notre Dame just beat Clemson in double overtime. And as Matt was telling me, watching from his Marriott hotel room in Coralville, Iowa, that Notre Dame fans, which I guess there are, they have fans there, but they rush the field with masks hanging around their necks.
Yeah.
So that's not ideal.
Nope.
But a pretty good game to cap off a weekend of football. Own it and don't hide it. That's good advice. And Mel Tucker should give that advice to somebody else that could use that advice.
I'll tell you, he's
anyway.
He's a positive guy, and if there's someone that's going to keep them on the right path, he sounds like the right guy. Just
right,
you know.
Well, there's definitely a motivating factor with this man. And again, yeah. I talked to you. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That I've heard some stuff about Mel Tucker when he talks to donors and he's in these things and these cocktail parties and whatever, and he's speaking to the check writers. He doesn't go out of his way to, you know, give these rah-rah speeches. He's pretty standard. He's, you know, it doesn't seem to be his comfort zone. But if you watch the video of his speech before the game at Michigan last week, you can clearly see, and it's on Twitter, the MSU football people had a field day on Twitter last week, by the way. Well done for them. But if you go watch the video, Mel Tucker clearly has a motivating bone in his body. I mean, when it comes to his players, so. We got an inside glimpse of that, and there's going to be some of that needed again with a young team and with a team with holes and team in transition. So they're 1-2. They got 5 games left. Hopefully, knock on wood, God willing, they got 5 games left.
Yeah.
They got next week. They got Indiana. Indiana coming off another pretty impressive win, although we don't know what to make of Michigan.
How impressive, really?
Again, Michigan, of course, beat Minnesota in the opening week, and we were all like, you know, even I said it on here, I thought it was very impressive. I thought Minnesota was better than they were. Then Michigan comes and really didn't do anything to adjust to Michigan State last week, and so you kind of got a little sense of them. And then Indiana beats Michigan 38-21 today. It was 10 points at one point. Indiana rushed out to the lead and then got to within 10 points at one point. Anyway, it ended up being a 38-21 blowout. And boy, the heat is on Harbaugh. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in any event, they got Indiana next week. Michigan State does. It's obviously going to be a challenge. Michael Penix has had a couple of great performances this year. Against Michigan and against Penn State. Now we can talk about what that Penn State win means later too.
Yeah.
With Penn State losing to Maryland today, 35-19. But they got challenges next week. The defense is going to have to show up a little bit more than this week. And, clearly, I mean, Rocky's going to have to, make better decisions. And they got to, you know, look, you know, we keep saying they got to find a running game. They might not find a running game this year. You know, they're going to have to go. They're going to have to go just try people, and they're going to give people opportunities to see what you got moving forward. I think that's kind of where they're at in that aspect right now.
Yeah. There's no sign right now that suddenly turns around. There just isn't.
Well, it's 3 games in. I mean, even in a 12-game season, you'd be a quarter of the way in. And right now, you're nearly halfway. I guess you're a third of the way with that 9th game. But it's not something that I think anyone would be expecting. But areas where we should see improvement next week would be where?
Well, you'd expect Rocky to play a little better. You'd expect them to be able to move the ball through the air certainly better than they did today, because you've seen him do it. You saw him do it for the first 2 weeks.
Right.
You would expect them to limit the big plays, because really today was the first time we saw that. This will be interesting. That's the first time they're really going to play, you know, a really kind of electric mobile quarterback in Penix.
Yeah, this kid's good, man. This kid's good.
You know, Verdal in the first game with Rutgers is a solid player, but he's not at this level. And certainly the kid we saw today, Spence.
Hey, Spence.
And again, they didn't have to rely on him making a bunch of plays. Let's be honest. Sure. You know, Iowa ran the ball well and scored on special teams, scored on defense. So they weren't counting on their quarterback too much, but this will be the first time Michigan State's facing a real dynamic quarterback like this, and that'll be a challenge to say the least. I mean,
they saw a decent one in Milton. I still believe in Milton a little bit,
but he's still pretty raw and still pretty young.
He's raw. Penix has been around and clearly is a game changer. Can be.
Yeah.
So you're right. They're definitely going to see a game-changing quarterback.
But the same way in the first, going from week 1 to week 2, you're like, I don't think they turned the ball over 7 times. Going from this game to the next game, you think you would expect Rocky to play significantly better. You would expect to see not so many big plays given up on defense. But, you know, Indiana's probably better than any – not probably, certainly better than anyone they played to this point. So
Indiana might be the second-best team in the Big Ten.
I mean, I think they are. We don't know about Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin's
well, no. Well. If Wisconsin plays another game, we might know something about Wisconsin, but we don't know if it's going to happen. You talked about the turnovers. So they had 7 turnovers in week 1. They had 0 last week. What did they have this week?
Three picks.
Okay, so we're going 7-0-3. So we're on track. You know, OCD. We're going to have 0 next week. So 3 picks, and that's the discouraging thing. But again, you have a quarterback who's still new to the starting role, and this is really a big surprise. I mean, if you would have said they were going to be 1-2 after 3 games, I think we would have all believed that. It just didn't take the route there that maybe we thought they would have.
So
they got Indiana. It's going to be an interesting game. Then what? What's on the schedule moving forward?
Well, you're really testing me, aren't you?
I'm sorry. I thought you would maybe know off the top of your head, but now you're going to look it up on the internets.
I should know these things, seeing as I'll have to be there
Right. Don't you have some flights scheduled or something?
Let's see. They're at Maryland.
And here we go. This is interesting because Maryland, thought was going to be awful this year. And they just took it to Penn State today, 35-19.
Yeah.
We're not sure, I guess, what to make of Penn State. Penn State's 0-3.
Not sure what to make of most things. Come on.
Penn State's 0-3, right? Yeah.
They're 0-3.
Because they lost the longest inch game against Indiana and then lost to Ohio State last week and then losing to Maryland. So they got Maryland. What else? What's the rest of the way here? Let's say.
Well, Northwestern, Ohio State, Penn State. I'm struggling. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure after what we've seen to this point, you can look on the schedule and feel really solid about another win.
No, but I can also look on the schedule and say that they don't absolutely lose to anybody but Ohio State.
Right.
You got to see some improvement, obviously. But again,
yeah,
got to get that running game going because the game against Michigan, it's inexcusable that Michigan didn't adjust at halftime to what Michigan State was doing. Yes, it was an excellent win by Michigan State. They did a lot of things right. Michigan did not adjust. Have to adjust. They did not. You knew Iowa was going to adjust. They were going to take some things away from Michigan State. Clearly, they did that today. You know that the game film is going to be out. Everyone's going to have this moving forward. So, they'll probably pick off another win or two. Who knows? The Big Ten doesn't look very good. They look a little rusty. You know, they're three games into their season. You know, Clemson and Notre Dame are in their – we're at their seventh and eighth games today. So, you're definitely seeing a little bit of a early season rust, I guess I'll call it, from the Big Ten.
So, yeah, basically we're just waiting for 2 weeks when Ohio State plays Indiana, which we all circled that start here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They'll pick off a couple, but they're going to be 2-6 or 3-5 and, you know, play some, you know, garbage game, you know, for their week 9 game.
Yeah. I think what everyone needs, every Michigan State fan needs to do, and it's hard to do, I get it. And trust me, judging by my Twitter timeline, people don't get this, but you lose sight really quickly of what the season is and what we kind of expected it to be. And it's this, you know, Mel Tucker talked again today about another thing he brought up is consistency and performance, and consistency is clearly not there. I don't think
that's there with anybody.
No,
You don't have non-conference games. You're going right into your season. I mean, it's a sprint, not a marathon for the first time. You know, there's no consistency with anybody except maybe Ohio State. So that's not a surprise, but it just the stark difference though is a little it's a little discouraging.
Yeah,
I mean, you certainly
right.
wanted to see, you lose to Iowa today. That happens. No one thought that wasn't a possibility or even a realistic chance or a likely chance or likelihood. But the stark difference from the performances is discouraging.
Yeah. I mean, and just to see, especially offensively, where it looked like there was just nothing. Yeah. And that's the disheartening thing. And that's what I say. You want to not see that. Whether you win or lose, you don't want to see games like today. You want to see signs. You don't want to go back at the end of the game like I did. And when you asked me, try and find a positive and you can't find one.
Yeah, that's discouraging. I mean,
you know, if you start piling up a few, you know, 3-4 games like that the rest of the way, then I can see you being discouraged going into the offseason. But, you know, let's see where it goes because you're right. Every team outside Ohio State and Indiana to a certain extent, but every other team is dealing with these wild swings. And when you look at what Michigan State was dealing with the new staff and all that, it's none of this should be surprising. You shouldn't be happy about it. You shouldn't be satisfied. But
look at the bright side. I mean, the Michigan State's not in last place in the Big Ten East.
Hey,
I mean, they're up ahead of Ohio State, just like we all predicted.
By the way, is there anyone around the Big Ten, not in Nebraska, who isn't happy every time Nebraska loses?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's happy that Nebraska's in the Big Ten.
Especially they've been acting really, you know. Yeah. They're real good team players these days.
No. I think that, No one, I think, is overly thrilled that they're in the Big Ten. I mean, Rutgers and Maryland, they're nice participants.
Watch Michigan State play Nebraska in that ninth game.
I know, I was thinking about that, actually. That's a possibility. So, okay, Big Ten today, again, Michigan State loses to Iowa 49-7. Northwestern beats Nebraska 21-13, again, yay. Maryland beats Penn State 35-19. It's just stunning that Penn State is 0-3. And, you know, that first game against Indiana was so good and such a good – and I think that everyone, you know, it seemed at the time less of an indictment on Penn State and more of a boost than, you know, of what Indiana was. And then Penn State comes out the last 2 weeks and they held, I guess, with Ohio State last week, but then gets slaughtered by Maryland today. Maryland, again, a team that neither one of us thought was – this is a bit of a surprise. And then Minnesota bounces back. Minnesota puts up 41 and only gives up 14 to Illinois.
Illinois, a team that's about as close to the verge of not being able to play because of COVID and still be able to play. So they're shorthanded, to say the least.
And then Purdue and Wisconsin canceled second consecutive game that Wisconsin has canceled because of COVID. They still put out some numbers yesterday or today. They still have a significant amount of positive tests in the program. So we're not sure how they're going to be moving forward. And that brings us
real quick. Wisconsin did say they on Friday started some limited conditioning.
Right. They did. They still have positive tests. They obviously are still going to have numbers. So they're still going to have to get under the threshold or stay under the threshold. To play, but they did have team activities, but they have two games. And they, by the way, if they miss another game, they're not going to be college, you know, football playoff eligible. I don't think. I think or Big Ten championship eligible if they lose another game, right? I think if they lose a third game, they're not going to be eligible for that game. I read that somewhere. I'm throwing that out. It's late at night, and I'm sure you people, fine, sexy people, will fact check me on that and let us know if I'm wrong. You won't let me know if I'm right, but you will let me know if I'm wrong. I know that. So anyway, Wisconsin, two games in a row canceled. It's disappointing, by the way, given how good Wisconsin played the first week. But
it seems like a long time ago now.
It does. Barry Alvarez was one of the main forces behind the Big Ten getting into this and playing. And they've got issues still. So
yeah.
But we'll see. But that brings us to Michigan because Wisconsin's scheduled to play Michigan this week. So we're going to find out probably relatively early in the week if that game is going to happen. Optimistic probably that it will. If they did the quarantining right, then they're going to probably get under the threshold. But they'll be playing a very wounded Michigan team, losing 38-21 to Indiana. The Harbaugh heat is scorching right now. It is, it is a hot potato. I mean, the vast majority of Michigan fans want him gone. That's how quickly this has turned. It's going to be very fascinating to see how the season plays out for Michigan, who, again, looks so good against Minnesota. And then we found out Minnesota, not very good. And then, of course, last week and then this week, Michigan's got issues. And again, and somebody put this point on Twitter, and some people are asking, if Jim Harbaugh can't win at Michigan, who will? And, Michigan's in a trainer. I mean, someone can win, but this is a guy who had the credentials, had the homegrown background, the Michigan man through and through. I mean, who has it better than us? Everybody now, or a lot of teams now. They're a rough spot. I guess the only good thing moving forward is if that game happens next week, they'll at least play a team in Wisconsin that hasn't played in 3 weeks. So maybe that gives them a chance to get back on the right side of things. But Michigan State had the letdown, clearly a letdown. Not saying that, you know, they took this game for granted. I'm not saying that. But when you lose like this after a big game of your rival, it's a letdown. Michigan didn't exactly have a let up. You know, they didn't have this bounce back against Indiana. It didn't look very good at all today. It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out with Harbaugh.
Well, and the other thing you mentioned, too, is we're talking about Harbaugh and the heat he's under. Last week against Michigan State, I'm quite certain it was 10 penalties for Michigan. Today, 8 penalties for 89 yards. I mean, those usually go right back to coaching. Not much discipline out there right now. I mean, we could throw in the turnovers, a couple interceptions for Joe Milton. But, man, when you look at stuff like that, that really makes you start wondering what's going on over there. you know, and that starts to give credence to everyone who's after Jim Harbaugh now. And you're right, it is remarkable to figure to how we got to this point. I mean, I said it for a while, if it's not Jim Harbaugh, who do you have? I mean,
who's it going to be? And again, well, of course, there's somebody out there, of course, that can come in and win.
But the only reason was because Jim Harbaugh was hired to make this team a championship elite team. He clearly hasn't done that. So right. What, you know, you've given up on, I don't know. It's clear 9-10 wins is not what you want to do.
No, you're Michigan. I mean, this is year six. You haven't gone to the Big Ten championship game. Therefore, you haven't gone to the college football playoff. Has Michigan been awful? No, they haven't been awful under Jim Harbaugh. But again, you didn't bring them in to be good. You brought them in to be great. And
let's be honest, they're nowhere near Ohio State right now. Nowhere.
No, I mean, the gap is massive. There's no question. And I'll be interested to see what happens. I think he's got, what, another year on his deal?
After that. So
they were supposed to talk this summer, right, about a new contract. Of course, the COVID thing shut that down. They haven't done that. So I don't know how this is going to play out.
This is how late we're going. The Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle starting, and they're doing a
– do they have Jim Carrey on yet?
They have Jim Carrey and who's the woman who does Kamala Harris? Why am I forgetting?
Oh, that's Maya Rudolph.
Yeah. That's on the
cold. She's so good, by the way. And Dave Chappelle, yeah. Maya Rudolph is so good as Kamala Harris. Oh, my God.
I know. That's Jim how Carrey, late we're doing it,
folks. I know. Yeah. Jim Carrey, not so good. I love Jim Carrey.
Not that bad.
He's not that good, though. And here's the thing. I love Jim Carrey in from all the way back in Living Color days, you know, back with the Fly Girls and in Living Color. I mean, I love that show growing up as a kid. And then, of course, with Ace Ventura and all his great movies and Dumb and Dumber. I love Jim Carrey. I think he's a brilliant person. I think he's a brilliant comic. But every time he does Joe Biden, it just reminds me of Fire Marshal Bill from In Living Color. And I just doesn't. Like, they brought him in, it was this big, maybe it was overhyped. Maybe that was the problem, because they brought him in, he's Joe Biden, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's going to be great. And they had a guy, Jason Sudeikis, who was really good as Joe Biden, a more scaled back version, but Jim Carrey just hasn't quite done it. I mean, they even had Woody Harrelson on, I think, last season to do Joe Biden once, and Woody Harrelson was really good. He had these massive fake sparkling white teeth, but I don't know. I love Jim Carrey. I hope that the contract doesn't go 4 years for Jim. I'd rather have them go back to Jason and
Jason Sudeikis is too big of a star now. Come on.
I know, but thought he was so good, you know. I love Jim Carrey. Don't get me wrong. I just think that there's something off, you know, and he's a little rusty. He's a little rusty with live TV too. I mean, he breaks out of character a little bit too, but anyway, yeah, Saturday Night Live, that's how late we're doing this on this this crazy Saturday. But anyway, just to wrap up really quick, Jim Harbaugh, where does this go from here? I feel like if something happens, it's going to be this mutual resolution of, hey, it hasn't worked. I'm going to go back to the NFL. That's cool. We're going to find a younger, you know, a younger coach or whatever, you know, somebody, maybe you don't have to have a Michigan man. You know, I mean, I know it didn't work with Rich Rod, but I think that's a little unfair. It's an outlier. You know, I don't, but maybe you don't have to have this Michigan man. Maybe you just go get the best young coach you can.
And
try something different, you know?
Yeah, I think they need to get away from that. I mean, stop that Michigan man stuff. Then you're just limiting your pool. Why limit it?
Yeah.
You know, but I think absolutely. If this doesn't work out and they're going to go their separate ways, I think it is something like that at the end of the year in the off season. There's going to be NFL openings. Harbaugh's proven to be a good NFL coach. I think that's always kind of been out there. I think that's how it'll go. He'll end up taking an NFL job, saying, "Thanks, Michigan."
He just feels a little bit. I mean, he doesn't. It just feels like he doesn't. I mean, the energy's not there like it was at the beginning. Now, when he got the job, I mean, it was this huge thing and. He was on the side of the road helping broken down cars, and he was staying the night at recruits' houses. And I mean, he was Jesus when he first started. I mean, obviously that had to end because you weren't going to national championship games. So that stuff runs dry really and turns people off really quickly. but it just doesn't feel, it just feels like a little bit of a disconnect. And again, you know, you bring in Don Brown, and Don Brown's defense, I mean, you can pick that apart. Maybe it's just time, and we'll see. I mean, I could see it happening at the end of this season.
By the way, I wish everyone out there could do the Don Brown drinking game. And that's every time during a broadcast, the announcers reference Don Brown.
Don Brown.
I don't know what it is. They love saying Don Brown. Don Brown defense. Don Brown. And a Don Brown defense, especially when it's Kirk Herbstreit. Holy moly. He never stops. Don Brown defense. Don Brown. Don Brown.
Like the old, it's like the old, you know, every time on Fox, they have to mention Stafford and Kershaw.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. So, again, to recap, we'll see where Michigan goes from here. It's going to be interesting. Again, Michigan loses 38-21 to Indiana. They're scheduled to play Wisconsin this week. We'll see early on in the week whether Wisconsin's ready to play some football again. Obviously, they're coming off two consecutive weeks shut down because of COVID. Michigan State, no redeeming qualities, really. I tried like hell, folks, to get Matt to say one nice thing. You know, it was like 2016, that final debate between Hillary and Donald Trump, and the moderator said, I want you guys to say one nice thing about each other, and they both, like, you could just see them frightened. No redeeming qualities, really, a 49-7. But, again, team in transition. We'll see where they go from here. The beginning of the year, we thought they'd be 1-2 at this point. They are. They took a little bit of a zigzag route to get here. They play, who the hell do they play with?
Indiana.
The wonderful Hoosiers and Michael Penix, who had another good game against Indiana today. So that's where we go from here. You can follow Matt on Twitter, Matt Charbonneau. You can follow me again on Twitter because the election is over. Tony Paul, 1984. I ended up losing, by the way. I think it was like 3 months ago, I said, what's the over-under on how many Twitter followers I'm going to lose between now and the election? And I put the over-under on 500. And for a while, I was up like 15. But then all the mail-in ballots came in. And the number shifted. And I looked today and I'm down about 130. But that's better than the 500. So if you put the money on the under, you're a winner. So that's it. You can check out Matt. He's going to have his Big Ten power rankings up at DetroitNews.com. He'll have all the preview coverage and the recap coverage from this week's game, all the preview coverage for the game at Indiana. Other than that, good day in America. We have a new day in America. How about that? That's about it, Matt. Anything else? Other than that, I'm just going to say, hey, the COVID numbers are going up. Wear a mask. Especially if you're rushing the field at Notre Dame.
Since it's the Michigan State podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This just
basketball stuff. Yeah, basketball stuff.
Season starts pretty quickly. Mm. You want to see this basketball season, wear a stinking mask.
Yeah, wear a mask. Please, please, please wear a mask. These numbers are – Michigan just had its largest day by far today. I saw the numbers from Oklahoma. They had their largest day by double. This thing's not going away. We're going into flu season. It's winter. Obviously, Coach Campy, Greg Campy at Oakland has COVID. Oakland's program is shut down for indefinitely, probably for a week or two. Their season's supposed to start in 3 weeks.
Supposed to play?
I'm hearing an early December game. That's what I'm hearing for Oakland and Michigan State. Michigan State is going to play Duke, right? Where are they going to play that game?
They're going to play it at Duke, and I'm sure everyone's excited about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will be, right? You get all the camera crazies behind you, or unless they don't let fans in.
They're not going to be there as of now.
No? Really?
And this is the part of the Champions Classic. Now, why exactly they couldn't play in Indianapolis like Kansas and Kentucky, I haven't gotten a real straight answer on that. Something to do with all the four conferences aren't exactly on the same page testing-wise, so
right.
How it ends up,
yeah.
I don't know. But there's two games on the docket, at Duke for that and at Virginia for Big Ten ACC. Other than that?
That's it. We're still waiting on all these college basketball schedules. The season starts on November 25th, and we don't know who the hell all these teams are playing. Most of the conferences haven't even released their schedules yet. And if they have, they've only, like, for Horizon League just did, they're going to play back-to-backs at a single site. It's so weird. But the Oakland-Michigan State game, we're looking – December for that game, but it's not finalized yet because, again, Michigan State's got to figure out what they're going to do. and maybe make it part of some MTE with a couple other teams.
Who knows
what's going to happen. But, yeah, so basketball is on the horizon, knock on wood. You talk to coaches, and they're anxious and nervous about this college basketball season. Given the time of year it is, given what has happened with football, with a lot of cancellations, given this spike in numbers. So we can only hope. That's it for the Big Ten, the Green Room Podcast, the weekend recap edition. We're gonna do this weekend recap edition every week because there's been some positive feedback from it. You guys seem to enjoy us kind of, and it's good for Charbonneau too, because it's like right away, you know, it's fresh on his mind. We can talk about what happened in the game. So we're going to continue to do this as far as the weekly regular edition, so to speak. We'll do those as needed. And if we have guests or maybe when basketball season starts, but we'll keep doing the Green Room Weekend Podcast edition. Again, Charbonneau's on Twitter, Matt Charbonneau. I'm on Twitter, Tony Plum, 1984. Check out DetroitNews.com for all your coverage. Matt, enjoy the rest of Saturday Night Live.
That's it. I got to go watch Dave Chappelle's monologue. See ya.
Good night.